tonight. We're not through. I want to drop a new style. Cause I don't accept everything that you're telling us. What are you selling us? The theater dwelling us. I sit in your unknown back while you're failing us. I failed to clap cause I ain't with your reason. You're trying to make me you by season. Off my mind with DJ Run. See John Rock in a hardcore New York. Come on now, it's like a chocolate cow. It doesn't exist, no way, no how. It seems to me that in the school is ebony. African history should be puffed up steadily, but it's not. And this has got to stop. See spot, run, run, get a spot. Insulting to a black mentality, a black way of life, or a jet black family. So I include with one concern that you must learn.
Yo, Chris. Whoa.
Hold up, D. Hold up, D. We're gonna see if they're really ready for this.
Are y'all having fun tonight? I said, are y'all having
fun? All right, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to start out by allowing everybody to introduce themselves, and I'll kind of give you a pretext to say good morning, and also be careful of the background noise on your line. And that being said, let's start out with Mr. Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay. Ms. Gardner, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
And we have our student host, which I'm going to allow to just take over in just a moment. But we have Kaya Diaz. Ms. Diaz, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay. And so now I like to say music is like poetry. You see, it has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. And words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I want to thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. And today, Quest Youth Radio again presents another episode. And that being said, I'd like to hand it over to the real deal, Justin Hill. Take it away.
Welcome, everybody. I am the real deal, Justin Hill. And today, for my segment, I'm going to be doing for Diamonds, Paul E. Williams and Dr. Charles Drew. And for definitions, I'm doing surgeon and patent. And my first segment of today, which is diamonds, I'm doing Dr. Charles Drew. And Dr. Charles Drew was an American surgeon and medical researcher. He researched in the field of blood transfusions, developing improved techniques for blood storage, and applied his expert knowledge to developing large-scale blood banks early in World War II. In late 1940, before the U.S. entered World War II, and just after earning his doctorate, Drew was recruited by John Scudder to help set up and administer an early prototype program for blood storage and preservation. Here, Drew was able to apply his thesis to aid in the blood and transportation. He was to collect, test, and transport large quantities of blood plasma. And that is it for my first segment of Dumbness, and I thank you guys for listening.
All right, thank you so much. And I want to hand it back to you so you can continue to moderate. Who's next?
Mr. Harris, would you like to comment?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I would. Charles Drew, he was a great brother at the time because, see, what was happening that really brought him to the forefront is that when your regular blood that has the hemoglobin and the white blood cells and the platelets, that stuff would go bad really quickly. So the storage of it, you know, you had to use it like right away. So he was able to take all of that stuff out of the blood and just have the liquid part of the blood without all the other cells in it. And that you can store for a longer period of time. And you know, that's what he was able to do with the blood plasma as opposed to just storing blood. And that was a great accomplishment, especially during wartime. But then it's still a great accomplishment for today. You know, he really came up with something that no one else had even thought of. Charles Drew has always been a big guy when it comes to science, to me.
Okay, Ms. Gardner, have you ever heard of
No, actually, this is my first time, so I think want to thank you, Justin, because I just learned something new, and that is really, really cool, especially with the plasma that they was using for COVID. To find, for the vaccines and stuff. So I think that was pretty cool how they actually use these type of techniques to this day. And it's just such an honor to see, you know, our ancestors do so many great things and that actually, you know, stands to the test of time. It just makes us think of the great things that we can accomplish too and for us to also stand the test of time.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Garner. Kyra, would you have you ever heard of Dr. Charles Drew or what do you like about him that I just said?
I actually haven't heard of him, but what I liked about what you said was how he was famous for organizing like a large scale of like blood banks and becoming a Black physician and discovering, like researching his field with blood transfusions and developing like different techniques to help people with their blood and large blood banks. Especially, I think the previous speaker has said that he helped in World War II, and that was more important back then because a lot of Black soldiers, you know, they still needed help and they were kind of treated different than the white soldiers, so that's important how a Black physician helped his community.
Okay, good. We are going to go into the music, and we will be back with our next segment from Brielle.
All right. And that being said, we started the show with Wake Up Everybody and transition into KRS-One, You Must Learn. And right now, time for a little energy.
Spending so much time with you always on my mind. My brother, I just can't explain. The energy is off the chain between us. This can't be denied. Well, I love the way we vibe, but right now I can't decide. Should I stay or should I go?
I'm
back over to our student host, Justin Hill. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bass, for the music. And it is now time for our next segment from Brio.
Good morning, everybody, and it's Brio. And today I'm going to be doing my first diamond segment, which is on Valerie Thomas. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. First, I would like to start off with what was significant about her. She was an American scientist and inventor while working at NASA, inventing a way to transmit a three-dimensional image. Valerie Thomas was born in Baltimore, Maryland. As she got older, she was interested in math, science, and physics, although most girls her age didn't find it too concerning, mostly because she was in a segregated school with less opportunities and classes than white students. Besides that fact, she was very successful and attended the Morgan State University, which was a black college, then graduated with a bachelor's degree in physics in 1964. She began working as a data analyst at NASA. In the 70s, she helped develop the image processing system for NASA. Ms. Thomas was a leader of the Large Area Crop Inventory. This was a program to develop ways to monitor wheat yields around the world. In 1976, she became interested by a 3D illusion after viewing a demonstration in which a light bulb seemed to stay light even after being removed from the lamp. Ms. Thomas began experimenting later to invent the illusion transmitter in 1980. With the process of her work, she was able to invent the optical illusion of a 3D image. NASA used it for their application. She continued to work for NASA. She earned a master's degree in engineering administration from George Washington University. In 1986, she became a project manager of the agency Space Physics Analyst Network. Before retiring from NASA, she held the position of Associate Chief of the Space Science Data Operations Office. In 2004, she received an educational leadership from University of Delaware. Throughout her life, she encouraged young African-American girls to pursue a science education. And still today, she is active in STEM organizations such as Women's Engineering and Science. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Valerie Thomas.
Thank you, Brielle. And I'll have to go to Mr. Harris. And what do you know about Valerie Thomas?
Well, really, I haven't heard of her specifically, but I've always been a fan of 3D imaging and like holograms and stuff like that. She really laid the groundwork for all of that. And I'm glad that she's getting some kind of recognition, if not in general public, at least amongst us. And it's important that we see that the things that we came up with are still being used because they were so far ahead of their time when they was thought of and invented. So she gets definite props for that.
Thank you, Mr. Harris, and I want to go to Mr. Bay and tell us, have you ever heard about Valerie Thomas, or what do you know about her?
Well, I'm glad you asked. As I listened to Brielle, I was pretty much learning about her all along. But I do want to say something that I think is significant. There is a saying that says necessity is the mother of invention. And from what I'm listening to so far, I see how some of our ancestors have seen the necessity or the need for developmental scientific invention to push and evolve our people, our human race forward. And that created a need for, you know, an invention. So I that's pretty much what I have to contribute as far as the subject, and great job so far.
Thank you for your comment, Mr. Bay. And I would like to go to Ms. Gardner and tell us did you learn about Valerie Thomas just now, or have you heard about her before?
So no, this is my first time ever hearing of her, and I think it's so very, very cool, especially when your parents have influence in your life, because her father used to work on TVs, and he used to take it apart, and she used to watch him, and that's how she was inspired to be able to do what she did today by doing the projectors. And it's one thing that she said that Mr. Harris mentioned. It's so funny that she said that she actually enjoyed working on projects that was 10 years ahead of everyone else. And for her just to be, you know, monumental and a game changer in the way that we view things, especially holographic images now and how they use it, like at different concerts or like when they're doing political conferences and stuff, and they actually use some of that technology. And I mean, it's so crazy because she actually, the satellite that she worked on, the first satellite that went up into space is the one that she actually worked on to actually take pictures of images from outer space. So that's how we get to see Earth and the other planets now. So I think that's very interesting. And I definitely would love to see more. And especially if she was to get back into it, because I know right now she says that she's teaching, but just imagine if she did get back into the field and really be able to do the vision how she envisioned the actual equipment to be used. I think that would have been really cool to see.
Thank you, Ms. Gardner. And I'd like to go to Kyla and just tell us, you know, what do you like about Valerie Thomas, or like, have you ever heard about her before?
Yeah, I actually have heard about her, and what I liked about her was, even though I guess like physical science was considered a man's field during that time, most women, especially Black women, were discouraged of getting an education in that, and especially in that field, for her to pursue that and make all these accomplishments, that was, you know, that was really gracious of her. And being able to, in history like this, and basically change the world was a good thing. So.
Thank you, Kyra. And before we go into our music, I would like to comment and say, I think Valerie Thomas, she is a very successful woman because, you know, she did a lot of things, like what Brielle said. She invented the 3D invention and the 3D transmission. And I would just like to say thank you for the panelists, for the commenting, and we will be back with my next segment of Destinations.
Okay. Thank you very much. Great job so far. And now it's time for a song. You know, certain people have been walking around, and they've been doing what? Ego tripping.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built a Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son, Hannibal, an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son, Noah, built new ark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and with Jesus, men intoned my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sold diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across three continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
And we're back. I want to hand it back over to our student host, the real deal, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Hill. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bass, for the music. And it's now time for my segment of definition. This segment provides the listener with words and the meanings that so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition segment is on surgeon. And a surgeon is a physician who specializes in the treatment of diseases, injuries, and by manual or operative methods. The word surgeon comes from the Greek, which is a fancy word of saying done by the hand. And my definition segment goes along, connects with my DOM segment on Charles Drew, because Dr. Charles Drew, he was an American surgeon. And that is it for my segment of definitions. And I thank God for listening. And, Brielle, what do you know about surgeons?
I don't know.
Okay. Mr. Harris, what do you know about surgeons?
A couple of things, you know, because see, people think a surgeon is just the guy that's in the operating room, but his duties are preoperative. He gets the patient ready to do what has to be done, and he follows up after the actual operation is being done or has been done. And he's really instrumental in the holistic feeling for the patient. And that was a good article, a good project that y'all just did on what a surgeon really is. And it has to do with hands. And hands are the thing that makes us human, being able to use our hands in ways that can change the lives and the conditions of other people. So that's a good word, surgeon.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. And I want to go to Ms. Garner and tell us, what have you ever heard of a different surgeon, or what do you know about surgeons?
Oh my God, we did so many in our past. I can't think of any names right now, but it escapes me. I guess surgeons are very important because they're healers, and just to have the power by God to be able to heal in such circumstances. Oh, I just thought about one, a science week. So it makes me think about him. So and what he went through, and what he had to endure. for the changes, you know, within our society that has been affected now. So surgeons are very instrumental, and they're very important, especially during the times when we were going through World War I, and that they were there to be able to assist them. And by their assistance, how much they have pivoted into what we're doing now, and how we have a lot to learn. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gardner. And Hyra, what do you know about surgeons?
What I know about surgeons are they're a type of doctor, but they remove and repair parts of the body. Also, a surgeon has to know not only what parts to remove or what parts to repair, but a surgeon also has to know, you know, the body parts of a human, like the medical history or basically the integral parts of a person's body in order to develop treatment plans or even perform surgery on the person. So
thank you, Kyla. And Mr. Bay, have you heard of different surgeons
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Just last week, you guys covered Vivian Thomas, the doctor and surgeon who didn't have a formal medical education, but he came up with a cure for the blue baby syndrome. And I just want to add that we mentioned they made a movie about him. And I can't say enough how his picture hangs still to this day in the Johns Hopkins Medical Center, right? And I think I can continue to say, great job.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And it is now time that we are going to play another song. And I will be back with my next segment of Diamonds.
always write a letter. Said, dear Mr. May, we don't understand why poor people keep struggling, but you gon' lend a helping hand. Matthew 5:5 say, the meek shall inherit the earth. We wanna be down that way, but you've been tripping since the day of your birth. Who said that to kill is a sin? It started at Bresenko War that your people did. Who said that water is a precious commodity? Then dropped a big old black oil slick in the deep blue sea. Who told me, Mr. Man, to work it around the clock? Every block. Who told me, Mr. May, that I got a right to moan? How about this big old hole in the ozone? What's wrong with the world today? Things just got to get better.
Transition from Herbie Hancock straight into the one and only, the artist better known as Prince. And now I hand it back over to our student host, Justin Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Bass, for the music. And it's now time for Brielle's next segment of Definitions.
Welcome back, everybody. And now it's my next segment on Definitions. So the definition I will be doing today is inventor. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. The definition for inventor is a person who invented or a particular process or device who invents things as an occupation. For an example, Valerie Thomas invented a 3D optical illusion transmitter. And this word, inventor, originated from the Latin verb invenire. That's how they pronounce it. And where I got this, the resource where I got this information was from Merriam-Webster. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my definition on inventor.
Thank you, BL. And I would like to go to Kyra. And do you know any inventors?
Hi, sorry guys, I thought I was off mute. I know one inventor her, I think, but she was more of like, you know, into beauty products. Her name, her name was Miss Walker. I'm trying to figure out her first name. I don't remember. I don't recall. But she was more into like beauty products, creating hair products for Black women and Black hairstylists. I'm really trying to recall her name. Madam C. Walker, I think. Yeah, Madam C.J. Walker. So I think because some inventions can be either electronical or mechanical, like the person that Brielle had mentioned. But she was a woman that stuck out to me as well.
Thank you, Kyla. And I wanted to go to Mr. Harris. And do you know any other inventors?
Yeah, there's a number of inventors, you know. And but see, like Mr. Bay was saying earlier, sometimes people invent things because there's a drastic need for a particular thing to get done or to be understood. And there have been a number of inventors that have used that paradigm as far to be able to move things forward, just like we were talking about earlier. You know, when Ms. Thomas, she was things that she saw and moved on and moved it to another level because there was a direct transmission of pictures. She just showed how you can use two cameras to do the same thing and make people look like this is in a 3D image. Maybe I'm dating myself, but they used to be these little glasses that we used to have back in the day that you would put a little card in it and you would look at it and everything inside of it would look 3D. I forgot what it was called, but it was, and you would like change the pictures and it would look like you were looking at these pictures in 3D. That was kind of a play on what she was inventing, and it was a toy. So it was, she was able to touch all levels, and that was very important.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. And I want to go to Ms. Grinder, and do you know, there are many inventors in the world, but can you name at least one?
One I have for you is Granville T. Woods. So they said Woods accumulated nearly 60 patents during his lifetime, many of which improved the functioning of railroads. They also said he was most notable for his induction in the telegraph system, which allowed traveling trains to communicate with one another while allowing dispatchers to locate them. And he also was the first to electrify a power railway. So I think that's pretty cool.
Thank you, Ms. Gardner. And we will go into the music, and I will be back with my next segment of Diamonds.
The best. Cause you see I be a b-boy, taking it to the future. I execute you if I have to. You can stand still like a statue, wondering what's going on, like Marvin. I started carving my own spot. My man Roy will make it hot, but we stay cold in the go. The brother promises never stop with the flow. My flow keeps going on and on and I like to do it cause I see in the pawns. And I'm not the type to beat like that, but when it comes to the empire, yo, I strike back. Yo, I like fat rap, I might be that type. What can I do? I like to spit on the grave for those who never been a slave. Don't understand about the things they misbehave when they see the brother climb sense through the door. Ask about the dress, they ask about the flow, they ask about different questions. Question like brother quest love. This is what I do, I suggest love to many. Penny for your thoughts, brother conscience. Yo, I'm never taking chores, ask too. I come through just with my crew, with a little trees and a little bit of brew, but we can chill. And just came to feel, brother James Foy's on the keys. What can I do, MCs, they wanna freeze when they see the brother common sense go against them. Yo, we got a system, we can break it down for Roy Hargrove. Stars wove in the sky. I told you I can say I'm from the shy, but I'm from the go. So keep it going and I never stop. Yo, I like to do a show, go to a spot. Maybe the vanguard and stand hard with the brother right there on the horn. This is what I'm telling y'all, my word is always born. This is how it formed, like an application. Playing with yourself, boy, it's mental masturbation. This is what I'm doing, yo, I just passed the nation. This is what I'm asking you for, application to come down. Confidence got the sun sound. I run down different types of thoughts. It's like this is what I'm doing cause I just got divorced. Somebody said cause he seen me in the source a long time ago, an unsigned hype. I said confidence, yo, I've been striking mics since I was a shorty. Used to drink 40, now I'm drinking this type of water. It's supporting my daughter, y'all. It's like some 80s. This is for the ladies.
All right. I want to steal away and bring in Kaya Diaz for What's Happening for Us with Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Kaya, can you hear me? And take it away.
Hey, this is Kaya Diaz with your entertainment report. Let me tell you, it seems like the hottest ticket on Broadway belongs to rapper Common as he debuts in a prize-winning play entitled Between Rivers and Crazy, which opens December 19th at Second Stages Hayes Theater in New York City. For more information, contact Hayes Theater at 212-239-6200. And from Amazon Studio Newsletters, the movies just keep coming. Tyler Perry signs a 4-picture film deal with Amazon Studios where he is set to write, direct, and produce some brand new films under the deal, according to a press release. What can't Mr. Perry do? And finally, from allhiphop.com, Houston's hot girl, Megan Thee Stallion, is writing out 2022, becoming the first black woman to be featured on Forbes 30 Under 30 covers. She is making more money hand over fist with endorsements than rappers from album sales. Curious minds want to know how she accomplished this financial feat. And I'm Kaya Diaz with your entertainment report.
Right, and we're back. That was Common, titled Freestyle. And now I want to hand it back over to the real deal, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And it's now time for my next segment of diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Paul E. Williams. And Paul E. Williams invented the components of the first useful helicopter. An African-American inventor, Paul E. Williams, patented the first useful helicopter, the Lockheed Model 186, on the 26th of November, 1962. And that is it for my segment of diamonds. And I will be back for my next segment. And Brielle will be back with her next segment. And we will, but before we get into that, Mr. Harris, what have you ever heard of Paul E. Williams?
As far as the individual, no. But, you know, but just like we've been saying all along, is that sometimes, you know, we see things and we try to move things forward. Because now, even though he might not have came up with the original idea of a helicopter, because there was pictures of helicopters in ancient tombs in Kemet, but we won't talk about that right now. But he was able to create the component that made it practical, where you can just use it for any kind of situation. You know, before it was strictly a heavy-duty military thing, but he came up with different ways of making it accessible to everyone. So that's what you do. Just like when you get a doctorate. You can't write a doctorate about something that you think of. You have to take somebody else's idea and either prove or disprove or move it forward. And that's what it seems as if he's done with this, you know, his helicopter component.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. And Ms. Gardner, have you ever heard of Paul E. Williams?
No, this is my first time ever hearing about him. But it's pretty cool to know where it started from.
Could you say that one more time? I didn't really hear you.
No, this is my first time ever hearing of him, but it's pretty cool to know where it started from.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gardner. And Kyra, have you ever heard of Paul E. Williams inventing the first useful helicopter?
No, I haven't heard of him, but it was when you were telling me about it, I realized that his inventions were useful during his time, so that's really important.
Thank you, Kyra. And Mr. Bay, have you ever heard of Paul E. Williams?
Well, absolutely. And rather than elaborate in more detail, because you've done such a great job, I want to remind you that we have 4 minutes left to our broadcast, and to take it away for the remainder of your segment.
Okay, I am going to be doing my last segment of definitions. And my definition segment is on patent. And the definition of the word patent is a government authority or license conferring a right or title for a set period, especially the sole right to exclude others from making, using, or selling an invention. And the word patent originates from the Latin patere, which means to lay open. And before it is time to sign off, Leo, it is now time for your next segment.
Welcome, everybody, and it's Brielle.
So today I'm going to be doing Charles B. Brooks. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. But first, I would like to start off on what was significant about Charles B. Brooks. He was an American inventor who is best known for his patented improvements to the street sweepers in 1896. Charles B. Brooks was born in Virginia in 1865. As a young adult, he became a porter and worked for the Pullman Palace Car Company when he moved to Newark, New Jersey. By the 1890s, he was a resident for that city. His famous invention was an improvement on the street sweepers that was already there. The first street sweeper was patented in 1849. Brooks' patent was filed on April 29, 1895, and was approved on March 27, 1986. Brooks' invention was successful. He met with two investigators, George M. Halstead and Plumber S. Page. They were going to sell his invention for an estimate to about $2,000. This government gave the new improved street sweeper company $100,000. It soon received a good review from maintenance superintendent of Buffalo, New York. Although the street sweeper was not his only invention, he also invented a modified ticket punch. Also, he patented a new type of holding bag shortly after his sweeper was reviewed. The bag is to collect storage and dirt from the street sweeper he invented earlier. Although he sadly died, but the date was unknown. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Charles B. Brooks.
Okay, thank you, Brielle. And for the sake of time, I'm going to ask you to quickly do your definition segment.
So the definition I'm going to be doing today is improvement. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. So the definition of improvement is the action of improving or being improved. And the word improvement originated in Anglo-Normans, and they pronounce it improvement.
Thank you, Brielle. And I'm going to close out the show now because we only have like 1 minute left. And I would like to thank everyone for joining us on Quest Community Vibrations. And make sure you check out our next show on 89.5 FM from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And Mr. Bay, would you please play the music now?
All right. I want to say, everybody, join in. Quest Youth Radio is
the best youth radio.
Thank you.